Coming up today on the Rider Up podcast presented by Virginia's Blue Ridge.
My current world records are the most miles ridden in a year, 86,573.2 miles, which is an average of 237 miles.
A day.
A day.
Ultra endurance cyclist Amanda Coker shares the secret to her amazing story.
I like to joke around that it was a 423-day adrenaline rush.
Welcome to the Rider Up podcast, where we talk about how much we love bicycles. Dan's a crazy downhiller, and John will be walking with a cane in a few years. But nobody loves cycling more than these two. Coming to you from Virginia's Blue Ridge, let's meet the hosts, Dan Lucas and John Carlin.
Hello and welcome to the Rider Up podcast presented by Visit Virginia's Blue Ridge. I'm one of the hosts, John Carlin.
And I am Dan Lucas, and I am here with Amanda Coker. We are sitting here in the new lounge at Cardinal Bicycle, so if you hear some stuff in the background, that's what's going on. But we are excited to talk to her about her experiences on and off the bike and everything in between. Amanda, first of all, we want to know, what is it that has driven you, and can you please give us some of your accolades, these world records that you have? Can you give those to us?
Of course. I'm glad to be here, John and Dan. My current world records are the most miles ridden in a year, 86,573.2 miles, which is an average of 237 miles.
A day.
A day. I also, along the way, set the most miles ridden in 30 days, which is 8,012 miles. And after I finished the year record, I continued on to complete 100,000 miles in 423 days. And that was from May 15, 2016 to May 14, 2017. And I went on to the 100,000 to July 11th. And between that time and October 23rd, 2021, I joined Team 2024 and have been racing time trials, gravel and road. And October 23rd, 2021, I became the first woman to ever ride more than 500 miles in 24 hours with 512.5 miles. And along the course of that day, I also set 10 other world records, two being the 100-mile road course at 23.03 miles per hour, and the 12-hour record was 270.6 miles.
So that is a lot.
That's a lot of
numbers and a lot of data. And if you want to learn more, you can look Amanda up on the internet. I think goamandacoker.com
yes.
is what you said, is her webpage, or her webpage. So check that out. And we are going to get into a lot of really cool backstory about Amanda and everything she's experienced. So hang on tight. Riders Up podcast starting right now. Welcome to the Riders Up podcast. How are you doing?
Good, Dan and John. It's great to be here.
Yeah. We're excited about this because Amanda is part of Team 2024. And Team 2024, if you haven't heard, I'm sure you have, is calling Virginia's Blue Ridge their home.
Their home.
Their training place of choice. It's going right. to be, it's exciting for us, and I hope it's exciting for you guys to be here. So welcome, and we're excited to ask you some questions.
Yeah, Amanda, because you have done the most amazing things on a bicycle that I can possibly imagine in terms of endurance. You averaged 230-something miles a day, every day for a year. And first thing I want to ask you right out of the gate is, how did you do that? How did you recover? And how were you just not wiped out after one day?
I like to joke around that it was a 423-day adrenaline rush.
It had to be some rush.
Yeah. It was a rush. It was just a methodical rush of just being in a routine every day.
But your body didn't break down? How did you do that?
It broke down. I just didn't show it.
Right.
Okay.
So, were there hard days?
Did Absolutely.
You, yeah. That was like, would you say more mentally challenging or more physically challenging?
I would say environmentally, with the climate, with the weather, and
gotcha.
All the elements of that, and having to battle Florida weather all year long, whatever it threw at me, hurricanes, tropical storms,
right.
rain.
So you would ride anyway?
I would ride anyways.
Why?
Because I wanted to win.
So that's what it is.
I wanted to ride as far as I could every day.
You had this singular focus on a record. So let's go back and start with when you decided to do this. What was going through your mind? What was your mental preparation? And when did you just say, all right, I'm going to do this?
The original intent started January of 2016 when I was riding with a fellow ultra cyclist. And they're like, hey, Amanda, you're riding pretty far every day right now as it is. And why don't you go for the women's world record, which is 29,604 miles. And I was like, yeah, I think I could do a little over 100 miles a day. So I talked to my parents about it. I said, can I take a year and we can all work together to get me to break the women's record? They're like, yeah, we can do 100 miles a day. And ended up starting my very first day. I did 250 miles. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to try this again tomorrow. And I think I did 233. And that is the furthest I'd ever ridden in a day. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try again the next day. And I just kept riding that far every single day, just riding basically from when the park would open and close. And my mom was like, what are you doing? I didn't sign up for this. And then jokingly, of course, It just kept going day after day. And on day 133, I broke the women's record. And I just continued going on.
On day 133, you broke the women's record.
Yes. So a third of the way through the year.
And then you just kept cruising.
Did.
That is wild.
So you were doing this in a park in Florida.
Yes.
So tell us about the park. What does the terrain look like? Why was that your base?
I started riding at Flatwoods when we first moved down to Florida in 2015.
Yep.
So I just kind of started meeting a lot of cyclists there, and it's close to the traffic, close to the vehicles, motor vehicles, runners, skateboarders, cyclists, all train out there. And a lot of people make fun of it because they think it's an actual loop, but it twists and turns where you never really feel like you're going in a circle. And I think it's like the greatest place to train because you never have to stop or never have to worry about anything. If you have intervals a day, you can get those intervals done. So
you were basically, even though it's twisting and turning, you're riding a loop, and you were just crushing that loop every day as much as you possibly can.
And it's windy out there.
Yeah, I imagine I told John this before we started, but I've long said that people from flat areas are on average way stronger than people from hilly or mountainous regions. And I've learned I've been humbled by people from very flat places. And I've seen other people from really mountainous places very humbled by even us out here where we don't have as much elevation, because you're pedaling the whole time.
You never stop, right?
And I think that's something people need to understand that are out there. People, you know, usually they're like, oh man, they don't have mountains. What are they going to do? But, you know, if you're from somewhere that doesn't have a lot of elevation, you have to keep the legs going if you want to keep moving.
Every day. The whole time except turn.
How many teeth are on your front chainring? What are you pushing?
I think I had a 53.
53, okay, cool.
50, usually ran a 53, 11, 23.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Yeah, not crazy.
Right.
I did keep my cadence really low, like in the 60s.
Yeah,
did. So you were pushing your biggest gear then. But you got to have strong legs to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your legs aren't strong enough, you know, for me, if I was doing that, you know, I'd go a couple of miles and I'd be tanked.
Yeah, so. Nicola compared you to a metronome.
Yes.
And I can see that. I can see that comparison if you're only pushing 60.
Well, it's actually funny because I ended up averaging 20.3 miles per hour for the whole thing. And it started out because I had some fast buddies who would always tease me like, oh, we're not going to ride with you. We're not going to go 20. And it kind of like fired me up. So they could come out every day around 4 o'clock. And I wanted to ride with them because they're my friends.
Yeah. Right.
So I just started trying to keep up with them. And they would do like 26, 27. And after a while, I was able to start riding that fast with them at the end of the day every day.
Wow.
And ended up setting the QOM at Flatwoods. I took a bunch of QOMs throughout the year.
That's fantastic.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah, right.
I would hope so. So you, at the end of the day, so 4 o'clock, you would start riding pre-sunrise every day, right?
We would wake up at 4.
Yeah.
And mom and dad are actually through all this. So I always joke, I say they should get an asterisk beside all my world records. Longest time sitting in a parking lot watching our daughter do something insane. But like,
because they're just there to support you all day long.
They were nonstop the whole day too. And dad would probably ride 50, 60 miles every day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's cool. I love hearing about, you know, stories like yourself, because you have your parents and they see that you have a love for something, and it doesn't matter if that's not something that they necessarily love, they will do whatever they can to help you achieve those goals. And I think that there's something like really, I mean, it's heartwarming, right? But
right,
it's also just a really cool testament to their, you know, dedication to their child. I think it's great.
Yeah, and did I read somewhere that your mom and dad said that they were just about broke at the end of the year because they had taken a year off to do this?
Other than the generosity of some people from GoFundMe, uh-huh, it was all funded by us. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that was.
You right. Got some sponsors now, though.
Yes.
Right.
We're still working on it.
Yeah, rightly so.
It's tough being a pro female cyclist.
If you're out there and you're hearing this and you want to help Amanda, you should get in contact.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you know, absolutely. So, I mean, who are your sponsors?
I am sponsored by a company called Nella Fit Biomics. It's a probiotic that, mm-hmm, you take for gut health, and it actually,
okay,
is life-changing for me. Just
really?
Really. I tried it before I got in touch with them for sponsorship, and
so you like the product?
Oh, I love the product.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Okay. Is that something everybody can take?
24-hour. It isn't. Is, something,
okay,
can
because
take.
some of those probiotics are sort of tailored to the individual, mm-hmm, but yours
it's made for athletes.
Okay, made for
it really
athletes.
Is.
Okay, all right.
It
awesome.
Kept my stomach fine during the whole 24
yeah,
hours.
I imagine too. You're taking a lot of like pre and post workout stuff,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of times that will tear you up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it'll mess your stomach
it'll
up bad.
Really
and
does.
And like goos and whatever sort of. And I have questions about what you're fueling yourself with too.
Yes.
But all those things are not necessarily conducive to riding 200 and some miles every day and eating it every,
mm-hmm,
day. And I'm sure you can get used to it, but. That's kind of cool that there's a company that's thinking about that for endurance athletes that are eating this stuff.
Well, your gut health is so critical. I've been monkeying with that, working with a dietitian also. So I'll be curious about this product that you said. The name of it again is what?
Nella, Nella.
Okay. All right. And do you have like a bike sponsor or?
Through Virginia Blue Ridge 2024.
Right. Okay.
Felt
bikes.
Yes.
Right. Okay. What kind of bike were you riding? I know you rode three different bikes every day. What kind of road bike were you riding during your conquest? Okay, we'll go on from that. But you rode a recumbent also, and a time trial bike.
And a time trial bike.
Okay, and that was because why?
To vary my muscle use, so
uh-huh,
I wouldn't,
yeah,
wear out a specific muscle group, because a recumbent helps your you need your hamstrings and your glutes for that. So it would give my back and my neck a break. And then when that got sore, because I did get sores from each bike. Each bike,
yeah,
no matter what bike I rode, I had sores.
Yeah.
And then I would go on the TT bike to strengthen my hip flexors and the tops of my quads. And then the road bike was to just mix it up in between the two.
Okay, well, where would you spend the majority of your time?
I didn't keep track of that.
It's really? So it was roughly a third,
feet.
A third, a third. It's like, okay. And so your dad just had the other bikes on the car, and,
mm-hmm,
you would... How long would you stop when you made a bike switch?
Oh, I made the joke that every 3 minutes is a mile. So I probably stopped on an average of 30 minutes total every day.
Oh, my gosh.
My longest break was usually around lunchtime, and I would eat,
yeah,
a lunch for maybe 10, 15 minutes and then head back out.
So we were talking about what you're using for your gut health and that you're using energy products to,
mm-hmm,
to maintain. But what did you have a specific diet that you worked out that you were eating every day or...
My main source of fuel on the bike was Tailwind Nutrition.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I still use that today. That's the only thing I use.
We have some Tailwind here at the,
mm-hmm,
shop. Yeah.
It's
okay.
Popular product.
So that's just a powdered drink mix?
Yeah. There's
sugar electrolyte.
Sugar
electrolyte.
Okay.
And
right.
they have, there's a couple of different products,
mm-hmm,
they have. Yeah.
So you were using that on the bike. What would you eat when you stopped for lunch?
I would eat anything.
Right? Anything, really?
Well, what nailed that?
I would burn about 7,000 to 9,000 calories a day plus my BMR. So I would have to eat high dense,
yeah,
foods. Nutella.
I
took spoonfuls of that. I will,
right,
not touch that anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it anymore. My friend kidded me. He said, "You're killing so many palm trees because you're eating so much Nutella." Sandwiches.
So you're like just a sandwich from the deli, like a,
mm-hmm,
turkey and cheese sandwich, just regular everyday people food.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, regular, you know, that doesn't...
Well, a lot of, I know a lot of athletes are like, they're like, I can only have organic brown rice and like these very lean meats and stuff like that. But when you're burning 79,000, I don't know if it necessarily matters what you're eating at that point, as long as you have...
Just when I go home, that's when I eat all my nutritious stuff.
Right.
No junk at home, except maybe a slice of cake.
Right.
Okay, right.
Like a cake.
My mom would make me these big salads with nuts and meat and cheese. And I had to have Caesar dressing because it was the fattiest one, because I couldn't keep fat
couldn't
on
keep
me.
Yeah, fat, right.
I actually made sure before I started the records to bulk up. I was, oh my gosh, do you want to go to a buffet today, Amanda? Sure. I gained 10 extra pounds before I started, so the shock of the record wouldn't attack my body.
Right.
So I went in with a 10-pound buffer. And it melted off the first week.
I was going to say, that didn't last long.
Yeah, I like that you have, like, you and your family thought this out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, like, from changing bikes when you're, you know, you got sore or whatever, or your neck was hurting, to bulking up and hitting the Chinese buffet or whatever to make sure you had extra pounds on.
Right.
Like, I think it's really cool, and I love that it was, like, a homegrown thing.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, aside from a couple people that were funding you through GoFundMe, you and mom and dad took this on. I think it's such a cool story and a cool family memory, you know, like to be able
for
to show.
For sure.
That's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
It was nice having them. And then we also had a lot of friends that we made along the way and lifelong buddies with behind the scenes who did a lot of things for us. And I appreciate all their help. I always try to make sure that people know that a lot of people helped me through that, if not financially or just emotional support.
Sure.
So you had people start to hear about this, because it took a year, right? So talk a little bit about the people that just started showing up at the park who were either curious or wanted to ride with you, like, and they came from great distances. Can you tell us about that?
We'll start with the good stories.
The good stories, sure, yeah.
When I started going and the curiosity would grow, people would come out from seeing stuff on Strava and social media, and they'd come and say, oh man, you're so inspirational, I want to come out here and ride. I'm the furthest I've ever ridden before, and people just started doing that. And one of the main people I would ride with created these boards called the 100-mile board and the 200-mile board. So say John came out and said, I'm going to ride a century, but not necessarily with me, but just at Flatwoods.
Mm-hmm.
He would ride the 100, and then we would write your name on the board, and you'd stand and take a picture with it. And then I would post that.
Okay.
So when people would come and do 100 miles, 200 miles, or in between,
we would take
a picture with them, and it just like motivated more people. And that motivated me, which caused me, that's how I started saying inspiration is contagious, because I was out there, and to see someone out there pushing themselves, even if it was a really crummy day, I was like, all right, they're out there pushing themselves the hardest for them. I'm just going to
Amanda 100 or 200 mile board here in
Boston. That would be cool.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yes.
I think we should make that happen somewhere.
Yeah, we should.
I'm also a cycling coach too, so.
Excellent.
So you can tell people how to do this.
Indeed.
Okay.
Maybe not all my secrets.
Oh. Yeah, don't tell all my secrets.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep some for yourself. But let's make that happen, I think.
What's the furthest anybody came to do this?
Oh, wow. I think a guy from the UK. A guy from the UK came out. He was going to Walt Disney World, and he came out and wanted to check it out, which I'm an hour from Disney, so.
Sure.
I'm an annual pass holder. That's like the one thing my parents and I have that is just an escape reality, just fun. And then it's all bikes after that.
Yeah. All bikes. That is so cool. So a guy came from the UK, but on an average day, how many people might come and just like ride with you or ride because of you?
Well, in the beginning, I was okay riding with different people, but as it grew popularity, so did the negative things. And I've had some people come out and try to wreck me purposely, harm me, yell at me, curse words. So after a while,
why?
I never understood why.
What would they say?
I'm a fake. I have a motor in the bike. All I do is draft. It's not true. I'm a woman. I can't. There's no physical way. She's a man in disguise. It's just insane things. One guy actually, I Googled my name, and a form came up, and he was bragging how he flew all the way over from the UK and hid in the woods and watched me to make sure I was doing it for real. And I was like, it's so weird.
I think that people performing sometimes brings the worst out. The internet has provided this mm-hmm. as a way for people to find those stories. And there's people out there that unfortunately like to see others fail at achieving something great.
You're right.
And it's such a bummer.
It's like imagine the trolls that are like posting all the crappy stuff on the internet under a post showing up in person.
Right.
Like you have the actual trolls there.
Actual trolls there.
And it's, you know, imagine how sad and small their lives are.
No kidding.
It's pretty sad.
Right? All they want to do. And, you know, and in my mind, if you drafted the whole thing, it would still be incredible. If you had a motorcycle in front of you for every day for 13 hours, it would still be incredible.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure there were times when you were drafting on people.
Actually,
I mean, you know, other riders. But what's wrong with that?
I never asked any of my friends to come out and ride. They all just showed up on their own accord because I didn't want to take the fun out of cycling for them.
Sure.
Right.
But I enjoyed when they came, and I also pulled in the pace line too. So
yeah, right. Yeah.
I never just sat on. I just didn't feel it's not their record. So
right.
Yeah.
I was thankful because I was
sure.
exhausted when they would
sure.
come, and the. I had one friend who would come and I'd say, all right, story time, Alan. And he had the greatest stories. And I would just sit behind him and he'd talk and talk and talk. And then I'd pull it. Stuff like that meant more to me than, you know.
Uh-huh. So you averaged 20 miles an hour throughout
mm-hmm.
this whole thing, which is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I can't average 20 miles an hour on a greenway ride.
I can't do it downhill.
Locally. Yeah, downhill. So you're doing that. But guys would show up and you were friends, they would joke
mm-hmm.
with you and say that you were slow and because they could average what 25 miles an hour on a ride. So could they drop you or how did that all play out?
In the beginning they did drop me, but every time they'd come out during the week I'd push myself and I'd probably redline my heart rate a little bit after
yeah.
sitting in endurance all day. But after a while I could ride with them and switch off going that fast, and we set some QOMs out of the park, like three laps, four laps, 26, 27.
I bet you were the local legend. I bet you're the local legend.
I think they had local legend
yeah.
back
yeah.
there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, no kidding, right? Everybody, no, nobody else was there 13 hours a day,
yeah,
every day.
So.
It actually made me stronger to do intervals almost every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, I mean, I can't believe your muscles are able to recover that quickly.
I know.
That's insane.
Every night my mom would massage my legs, actually.
But do you not feel pain?
Oh, yes.
You do feel pain.
Oh, yes.
Nicola joked that you don't feel pain.
I feel pain in different ways.
Well, like, what about cramps?
I never had cramps. Honestly, never had cramps.
That's incredible.
Because, I was a marathon runner for a part of my life, and I had marathons where I was determined to run through the pain no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But then my legs would literally just seize up and stop working.
Yep.
Right? And I've done that in mountain bike races too. It's like my legs, I lie down beside the trail next to my bike because
yeah.
my legs, it's like, I don't care about this pain, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
And the legs were like, no.
You eventually get to the point they won't go anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You never reached that point. I mean, is there a secret or are
she
you?
She said it's tailwind.
Potassium magnesium balance.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to get to pick some up.
Yeah, I'm going to start mainlining it.
I mix Colorado Cola and orange together.
Colorado, oh, yeah, yeah.
Like orange.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the two flavors?
Orange Coke.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right on. All right, that's the secret of Colorado Cola and orange.
That's what it is. If they're not your sponsor, they need to be on the phone before this podcast is over.
So I have a question for you. It's changing gears just a little bit because I'm a mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
Work on bikes every day, and I love working on them, so I always have questions about what like the reliability. So first of all, how many chains did you go through in a year, do you know?
I believe a lot. I know it was a lot because my dad did most of the maintenance on
yep.
the bikes.
Yeah,
that was gonna be my next question.
Because you're gonna get some chain
mm-hmm.
stretch for sure.
Yeah,
right?
Well, she's gonna burn them out.
Right,
just
probably every 5,000 or 6,000 miles. maybe.
That's a lot of change.
That's a lot of, yeah. But
switching between three different bikes, too, it kind of stretched it out longer.
Right.
Still.
And a recumbent is 2.5 chains.
Right. Yep, so, that's a long chain line. Okay,
a lot of spiky cassette teeth.
Yep.
I wore through the 11, 12, and 13.
Wow.
And I would donate, I would give the upper ones to friends who needed the upper ones, and they'd give me the lower ones.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's great.
Tires, went through a lot of tires, just wearing them out.
Yep. So your dad did most of the maintenance. Did you have any local shops that would help you out?
No.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand how this was such a quiet...
recumbent sponsor.
You had a recumbent sponsor?
Yes.
Who was that?
Schlitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't
and
speak recumbent.
And he did
recumbent.
Service our my recumbent.
That's
okay.
Cool. Okay, great.
Okay,
good.
Nice.
Well, yeah, I'm always curious when people do these crazy marathon or even, you know, Everesting and stuff like that. In Everesting is usually in a 24-hour period, but still bikes, like, there's mechanicals that just happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's always interesting to hear. But I bet you have some gnarly looking chain rings.
And jockey pulleys. Jockey pulley.
So, yeah, the jockey pulleys are in the cage on the,
mm-hmm. on the derailleur.
Mm-hmm. And I bet he was swapping those out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Had to put the good ones on there.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's expensive.
Yes.
I want to just know your. I want to talk to your dad and find out what your chain budget was.
Okay, his name is Ricky.
Ricky, yeah.
Ricky and my mom's name is Donna.
Oh my gosh, Ricky and Donna, please come up. I would love to talk to you.
Right. What was your heart rate throughout the day when you said you got in that big gear, the low cadence?
Well, I think somebody ended up figuring it was an average of 118.
That's actually
I know.
It's low.
Low.
I wasn't expecting that. I usually kept it under 140.
That's super impressive. Do you know what your resting heart rate is?
In the 30s.
I was gonna say. Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
So what would happen if you went out and joined the women's team and started racing at the Olympic level, if you took what you're doing, which is this ultra endurance stuff? I mean, is that an aspiration for you? Is that something that can happen?
Right after I finished the hammer, I started gearing towards time trials, and I ended up winning the Florida State time trial in 2018 with a 27.9 average for a 30K, and that's how Nicola saw me.
Okay.
And she said in July of 2018, she said, okay, Amanda, come out to Boise and do this Kristen Armstrong Chrono time trial, the amateur race, and if you do good, I might consider putting you on the team. And I went out there and I won the amateur women's race. And then I said, am I good? She's like, yes. So I've been on the team ever since then.
Okay.
So that's how I got on the team.
So if everything went according to your dreams or expectations, what happens?
What happens?
Yeah.
What are your goals?
Are you our next Olympic time trialist for the United States?
That's a major dream. I think continue just to keep setting world records. I'm getting into gravel. I'm doing the Stokesville gravel race on Sunday.
Okay.
So I'm going to test the waters in that. If I do good, I'll go from there and continue to get stronger in the time trial.
So when you show up in this gravel race, do the people around you have any idea who you are, what's coming?
I don't like them. I like them
so
not knowing.
You're sneaking up on
them. I try when
but
I do races.
Your reputation is going to begin to precede you. Right?
It does.
And you'll be wearing the Team 2024
Correct.
Kit, right? So they're going to be like, okay.
You're going to be marked already.
You're going to be marked. do you know who the other competitors are that, like, because you're going to be off the front. It's going to be you and a select group.
I don't know about that. I never count my chickens before they hatch.
Okay, I'll count
them.
I'll go ahead and count them. Let's say it's you and a select group.
Oh, geez.
But you know who the other players are.
From checking registration every year.
Right, yeah. Okay. And, I mean, so do you have Olympic aspirations?
That's a goal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just a lot of hard work, a lot of doors.
How much hard work can there be after what you've done? You cannot work any harder than you already did.
Oh, yes, you can.
You can?
You have to increase your anaerobic strength to be...
Yeah.
It's a hard
area. So it's not the amount of work, it's the type of work.
You got to increase your intensity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kristen Armstrong knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right, and you've been riding with Kristen?
I've been with her a couple times.
Uh-huh. How do you guys compare?
Oh, she's world class. I mean, she's the... I think she's the greatest female time trialist ever crossed this earth. Right. And I honestly think, I joke with her, I say, she could enter into this next Olympics and she would probably win just because she's Kristen Armstrong. She's a great role model.
Right.
I gotta say, I appreciate how humble you are about all these things, because a lot of people could let this go to their head, and you are incredibly humble and gracious, and I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Especially, you know, given what you've achieved, you know, I like that you're thinking big too. That's cool.
Hey, let's shift gears just a little bit here, but you and your dad were in an accident when you were younger. Tell us about that.
In June of 2011, my dad and I were on a training ride when we lived up in North Carolina, and a car just came flying up behind us and hit us full speed and sent us flying about 50 feet into a ditch, knocked me cold. Dad almost broke his back in half. He ended up having two spine surgeries. I had one spine surgery, and I had a traumatic brain injury, a broken leg, and so many lacerations and contusions.
So you were lucky to live.
We were very lucky.
And did I read the driver was just cited for a minor infraction? Mm-hmm. That drives me nuts. Yeah.
I don't understand after. That's another thing I was talking about though with Nicholas. All these cyclists get hit and killed and injured, and why isn't there more manslaughter? Why aren't they getting charged with manslaughter?
There's a lot of people that aim for something.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. This guy just didn't see you, distracted driver, as far as you know.
It's straight road.
Right.
No distractions in the road.
I mean, could have been looking at his phone.
Probably on his phone. We'll never know.
Right. Okay. So you recovered. You were how old then? 11 years old?
Oh, no. 2000. I'm actually 29.
You're 29. Okay.
I was 18.
18?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So that was all before you decided to take on all this record stuff.
Yeah, I have a question about that. So what was, when that happened and you woke up and you're in the hospital and you have to overcome all this stuff, you were already sold out to cycling at that point in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what was it like to try and come back from that injury, all those injuries? Was that a struggle for you?
I never thought I could ride again. So.
Really?
I remember just sitting. I had a recliner because I had shoulder surgery, and it was the only thing that was comfortable. So I remember just sitting there going, am I ever going to be able to ride my bike again?
Yeah.
And not even the fact of the PTSD of being on a road, let alone just riding again. So I didn't really try to get back on the bike until 2012. But I was still having injuries from everything, and I ended up having spine surgery in 2013. So I didn't actually start riding my bicycle again until we moved down to Florida to just get away from all the crazy negative energy and start new. And Flatwoods was where I started riding. So that's why Flatwoods is so special.
Because it's a park.
Because it's closed and it's safe.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
I could actually get back on the bike there. A lot of people are like, oh,
that's like
Flatwoods, but it's special to me there.
Right, that's probably a big place of healing to be able to get on and not worry.
It is.
And just be able to get in your zone and do your thing.
Not have to worry about a car going boom right into you. It took a long time for me to, like, I can ride on roads now because I ride with a mirror. Nicola gives me the hardest time for it, but I'm like, it's just, I need that little, if I can see it coming in my mind, I can.
Yeah.
All right.
Because, you know, a lot of, like, the really cool cyclists won't put a mirror on their helmet.
Oh, I think everybody should wear them. I don't care how silly it looks.
One thing I've said, like, as a coach, I want the kids that I coach to be comfortable. And if you're comfortable, you're going to be confident.
Right.
And that's what is one of the biggest things, I think, as a cyclist, whether you're on the road or on a mountain bike, being confident is going to change your ride and change your mental state. And I think that's a comfort thing for you. And I think that it's super important that you continue to use that, because it's going to make you confident, make you faster, make you be able to do your job.
And it's fun to have Flatwoods when you're doing intervals, passing somebody. It's like, I got to keep pushing.
You can see it in the mirror. Uh-huh. Yeah, a little bit of extra.
It's an extra motivation.
Yeah.
Where does your competitive spirit come from?
Being told I can't do it. If someone tells me I can't do something, it reverses.
That's
all
great.
The negative comments on Strava during my hammer, I just laughed at them because it just motivated me more. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. You're trying to make me feel bad. Nope. It's going to work exact opposite how you play it out to be.
Okay. So but does it ever wane? I mean, is there ever a day where you just sort of say, I don't care today. I'm just going to do the miles.
Like for the hammer or just in
for
general?
The competitive spirit. It's like,
oh, I have fun
every single day.
I have fun.
It never goes away.
Mm-mm, because I almost had it taken away from me. I don't take it for granted. I love it. It's my release. I think you know cyclists. It's how we all go, okay, I need to go ride my bike, even if it's just for an hour.
My right? wife says I'm a better person after I run.
Yes.
My bike.
I totally am. Like the best mm-hmm. the best newscasts I do yeah. for the 11 o'clock news are the nights where I sneak out for a bike ride between the 6 and the 11 o'clock news.
I'll crash and come home with scabs right? and stuff, and I'll still be in a better mood.
Right? Man. So this gravel thing. Do you like gravel because there's fewer cars? Is mm-hmm. that's the deal? And so are you going to do, I can't remember the name. It used to be Dirty Kanza. I know we're not supposed to say that, but I can't remember the new name of that
Unbound.
Race.
Unbound.
Unbound,
yeah.
So are you going to try and do Unbound or something like that?
I actually am going to be back here doing the relay leg for the Ironman. So I'm going to miss Unbound.
Oh, okay. All right. And have you, so that's that, we should talk about that. That's
yes.
the Visit Virginia's
mm-hmm.
Blue Ridge Half Ironman,
yep.
right? Sponsored by Carilion. And there's a very long name for it that I can't remember, but I think I've hit all the high points.
Yep.
But there's, that's a 54-mile bike ride.
I think 56 for
56?
Half. 56?
You
almost
been
56.
Warmed,
yeah,
warmed
56.
Up at 56 miles.
Yeah, but there's a big climb. I rode it last year.
That
yeah.
one is it 42?
It's around 42.
42, yeah.
Yeah, you climb out of Buchanan up to
yep.
the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yep.
It switches back all the way. Then you get to the parkway and you climb for another mile at least.
Yeah.
And then there's some nice long downhills,
yep.
as well as some significant climbs on the parkway. You haven't ridden it yet.
Mm-mm.
How do you do with climbs? How do you do when you get out of Florida?
Oh, like I'll go out today and I'll get some practice in. Once I get a few rides in with it, I can feel more comfortable. It's like muscle memory.
Yeah.
I just
uh-huh.
get used to going downhill. I haven't
yeah.
done that in a while. It's been a few years.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it'll
wow.
be nice to power up a hill and then rest. I haven't coasted in a long time.
Yeah. Your bike will probably thank you
right.
too.
Right.
How does your coaching thing work? Are you coaching athletes? Do people call you, sign up,
yes.
pay you? How's that?
I get inquiries all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm always open up for more athletes. I use Training Peaks as my platform, and then I use a different specific software. And I don't like cookie cutter workouts. Like I make sure each athlete's getting custom made. I like to take the extra time every day, even if it takes me hours to analyze a cyclist because. I don't want somebody feeling like they could they're just a number.
Right.
I make them feel like the person. Because I coach how I would want to be coached.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like last night I had two athletes do some Zwift races and they each got their best 20 and 30 minutes ever. And
that's awesome.
So
yeah.
I like to celebrate those little awards.
That's great. So who are you coaching men and women or
yes.
just women? Men and women.
All different kinds of athletic abilities, levels, ages. Don't discriminate.
Wow.
That's great.
Everybody wants to get stronger.
Yeah.
So how do you, somebody comes to you, how do you analyze them to figure out what custom coaching they need?
I check their heart rate and power is my main. Like I don't train if they don't have heart rate or power. Mm-hmm. And then I go by their training readiness, TSS scores, you know, mm-hmm. and their goals. And I make sure that they're always within their optimal training, optimal performance. And if they ever have an overload, I make them rest. Most importantly, it's smart to do it on day, off day. You don't want to do too hard days or unless you're training for stage races, you know, to get acclimated to that. But rest is the most important thing to help recharge your mitochondria. So.
Which are the little things in your cells
mm-hmm.
that
powerhouse.
Produce
powerhouse.
Power.
That is the powerhouse
energy.
Cell.
Yes, yes. So aren't we all smart?
I feel really smart for knowing what that was.
Right. Yeah, me too.
I passed high school.
That's what I remember from
high school biology.
That's
high
like
school
everybody.
Biology.
That's
right.
the one
right.
thing.
But I remember training as a distance runner that, you know, those long runs are building mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and that's about all I know about it. And, but I, you know, it worked
mm-hmm.
because, you know, one weekend, 12 miles was as far as I could run. And the next weekend, somehow I ran 14.
Wow. Running is so different than
oh my
cycling.
Gosh.
It is. It really beats you up.
Could you imagine
sure.
running across the country?
No, but I know people that have
like
done
70
it.
70 days or something.
Right.
I think there's a guy
right.
who's going to try it this year.
Yeah. You've ridden across the United
I
States.
I have.
How was
oh,
that like?
That was
awesome.
My like official first get over everything I've accomplished. Like, this is the next stepping stone. That's actually how I started getting into endurance riding.
Okay.
Okay. How far would you ride going across the country.
I think I average 92 miles a day.
92 a day?
Still big days.
Yeah. Big days.
It's cool. My mom would drive. We lived in an RV when we moved down because we lost everything and we just had to get what we could. So we lived out of RV for a while.
Right.
And
you lost everything. What happened?
Financially. Because of all the medical bills.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
He did not have a good insurance.
So
we maxed out.
So you had an RV.
We lived in an RV. And we went from Fernandina Beach, Florida, to Ventura, California. And my dad drove a three-wheel 150cc scooter.
I read that. I thought that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
It was all, when I was growing up, we always joked, hey, let's ride our bikes across the country. But his injuries are so bad he couldn't. So we did it together through that.
That's awesome.
And he would ride with the scooter, and you'd ride
flashing
your bike.
Flashing lights behind.
So he'd be behind you, mm-hmm. like all these reflectors mm-hmm. and everything. Wow. And
Dad's a hero. Man.
Dad is the coolest.
He is a hero. I mean, so you lost everything. There's so many storylines here. You're living in an RV, and yet you're making cycling the most important thing that you're doing. And what's your mom thinking about this?
Mom thinks I'm crazy, but she loves me.
The love of a mother is something that you know she's not going to stop you. She's gonna cheerlead you the whole way.
But my mom would have said, you know, I'm bored.
She got to drive the RV. Don't let her fool you. She's like this.
She likes the RV.
It's funny. Growing up, she always wanted to be an 18-wheel driver.
That's hilarious.
And she got her like semi dream to do that. So.
Wow. But now your dad got well enough that he was riding what 50 or 60 miles.
I think occasionally. Covered it.
Yeah.
You know, I think he just kept his pain a secret that whole time.
Yeah.
Right.
So he no longer.
I gotta say, I'm a dad of two girls, so I would do anything for those two, and so I feel like I can understand Ricky's motivation, especially if it was something that you know you guys shared. It was kind of taken away from you in a very like traumatic way, being able to give that back to you, like that would be something. I mean, you know, he's your dad. He wants to give you all those things. And I think he's as big a part of the story. Your parents are as big a part of the story as you. And don't take that bad. I think that their love and their
they made me who I am.
So. They made you who you are. I think that is so. I think it's fantastic that they.
Thank you.
They worked that hard, and you are a testament of what they've been able to do. I think it's great.
Yeah, I just where was the your dad working? I mean, where was the money coming from? So that, I don't want to get like pry too much. I'm just wondering, like, how did you guys set this up so that your mom and dad would come and all their full job was to support you every day, but there was money for these bike chains and all these. Products, tires, everything you were wearing out, because you know, like if I have to replace something expensive on my bike, it's a hardship.
Whatever
right?
was from the bike accident settlement.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it wasn't much.
Yeah.
Because he was underinsured.
So you just had some money from the settlement, and your folks bought a small home in Florida, and you guys just settled in, and that's what you did.
That's awesome.
So minimalistic. We live in a tiny house.
So you're 29. Endurance athletes usually peak sometime in their late 20s to mid 30s, right? Well, usually, but you know, usual doesn't apply.
Does not apply. Here.
Yeah, look at Amber Neven and Kristen Armstrong. They're like in their late 40s.
Yeah,
Kristen's they're still
a monster.
Crushing it.
She's
her own.
Yeah.
Okay. So forget what I said. But I was just leading up to, you know, so what do you want to do next? I mean, you've accomplished so much and you're creating these unbelievable things. You know, this could be a letdown if you don't keep doing that.
I just want to keep setting world records.
You
I
do.
I think Nicola's looking for other ones for me to do. I'd love to. My next two that I really want to do is the indoor 24-hour record and the outdoor 24 track record.
Okay.
I gotta find an outdoor track and an indoor track. We need to stretch out our resources and
right.
And then we could have everybody could come to the venue and watch. We could make it a big spectacle.
Richmond has. I think Richmond has an indoor.
Cool.
Right.
I think so.
I wonder if like outdoors, if we could get the Martinsville Speedway to Andy up.
That'd be cool.
We could probably make that happen.
I know some guys.
I'm okay. Up for it.
Yeah.
Just need a little bit of time to gear towards it.
Nicola had an idea when we talked to her the other day as well. We were talking about the Blue Ridge Parkway, and she's like, ooh, I wonder if she could do that, that record.
Well, and so that would be, but the parkway is closed right now.
Right, it is closed currently.
But for weather?
No,
for
there are
repairs.
Repairs, but by October, it's supposed to be completely reopened. So then you could ride from, Carolina all the way to Virginia.
Gracious.
It's 460 odd miles.
I think it's 5. Oh, no, yeah, you're right. It's like 462 or something.
Yeah,
like a lot of elevation, too, right? A
lot of elevation.
Yeah. What would you estimate it would be?
I wouldn't even want to begin to
tell you.
There is some monster climbs. There's some here, and there's some in North Carolina that are pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you probably have to change your training a little bit
for
yourself to be able to do that. But, looking over your credentials, I think you got it covered.
Yeah. I used to ride it down near Brevard.
Oh, right.
On the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah.
I love that area. I've done Mount Mitchell.
Mount Mitchell?
It's fun.
Okay.
There's
So you know those.
No, I like climbing.
You like climbing.
People think I like climbing.
Right.
Oh, climbing's fun.
Yeah.
So, would you mind sharing some of your dimensions, like how tall you are and how much you weigh?
Oh, you're trying to calculate my watts per kilogram.
Well, I'm not, but some listeners might be.
We'll just keep them guessing.
You'll keep them guessing.
Foot seven.
You're 5 foot seven.
It's more fun that
and
way.
And she's very thin. So, big quads. You have big. I mean, is that where your strength is?
I think they're pretty lean, but they're not massive.
Right.
That is where my main strength comes from.
That's where your main strength comes from because you're pushing those big gears,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and did you get stronger as the year went on?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
I started out at 18 and a half miles per hour, and it just got faster.
Wow. And you were fastest on, I would assume, on the TT bike?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Fast,
so what?
Always been fast on the TT bike.
Right. I mean, that's kind of, you would expect
yeah.
that. Average miles per hour, like on the road bike versus the TT bike, what would the difference be? Like 2-3 miles an hour speed average?
Probably mile and a half.
Mile and a half?
For the speed I was keeping.
Right.
You're talking in regards to the hammer?
Right. So if you were out there riding on the road bike, you might be doing 21
mm-hmm.
miles an hour, but
mm-hmm.
you might be doing 22 mm-hmm. if you're on the time trial
mm-hmm.
bike. Okay.
Still significant.
That is significant,
yeah.
right.
I bet it looked funny seeing me go around with a disc wheel all the time.
Yeah, right. Full
yeah.
carbon disc.
First for 200 plus
right.
miles a day.
Is it true you rode in a hurricane?
Yes. Two different hurricanes and a tropical storm.
Tell us.
Hurricane Hermine came through, I believe, in September of 2016.
Yeah.
And they shut down the park, so I went and rode in a neighborhood beside for 55 miles, and my parents finally said, okay, there's trees
That's
falling,
enough.
You're done, we're going home.
Really? So it was that bad?
Uh-huh.
What was the wind gusting at?
40s, 50s?
That's insane. I hope you weren't riding a time trial bike that day.
No, I was on the road bike. Another time, Tropical Storm Colin came through, I stayed on the bent for a little longer than normal because it was lower to the ground. And I held onto the handlebar so much I had blisters just like on my hands. I think I took pictures of there just bubbled all over my fingertips.
Because you
the
were holding on, the wind
so
was
blowing the tree sideways.
Why not just take a day off?
I only did 120 that day, I think.
Shit, it was an easy day. I like that, yeah, the day, the hurricane was the one you took it easy and only rode 55.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other hurricane, you rode 100 and some.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there was only 7 days I did under 200.
Wow. And did I read you rode like in a hailstorm at
mm-hmm.
one point?
Rainstorm, hailstorm. Flatwoods was actually made as a water retention.
Uh-huh.
And they ended up paving the course around it to where all the service stations are, and they opened it up to the public like 30 years ago.
Okay.
And it was made to hold water when it would fill up down, because it rains a lot in Florida.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's this one section about 2 miles into the loop is called Clay Gully, and it would flood over. So it would stay flooded almost all of summertime, so I would have to slow down and roll through it and then do that every time around. Also, the first year, they paved the whole course during my hammer, so they had half the course load, so I would have to go parking lot, and then they'd flip it parking lot. And I actually had one bad crash because they had dump trucks coming out, bringing in pavement, and a chunk was in front of me and I didn't see it.
Oh, man.
Because one day, and I hit it and went flying.
Ah.
And just, like, skidded, had some hematomas and some...
Did you think it was
ribs.
Over? Did you think...
Yeah.
We had cracked what?
Cracked ribs.
Yeah, I got some, like, bumpy ones now from it. And I just got up. They fixed that bike and I got another bike and kept going.
Did you become friends with any of the road workers you see all the time?
Oh, they you know, construction guys. Every time I go around, whee! I'm like, oh, great. I wasn't nothing to look at because I had granny pants on. It's the sunscreen pants, you know, those leggings?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. I had arm coolers.
Yes.
The sun sleeves.
Yep,
and I had the
I
leg
know.
Ones. Oh, my goodness. Nicola, if she knew me then, she would have just shook her head because she's like, oh, why are you wearing that? But my
you
skin
had to.
If I didn't wear it, my skin would burn.
Florida sun, that, you know, all year long, every day.
Yeah.
Zinc
yeah.
oxide is the best.
Yeah.
You have to use
zinc
oxide.
Use
zinc. It faded my clothes. My ponytail actually was blonde by the end of the everything. I had a blonde ponytail and this was brand.
Really?
I had after the hammer, my fingers were brown.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a cash register one day and the cashier looked at my hand and I was like this because it looks like my fingertips were dirty.
Yeah.
So
it was super tan.
Mm-hmm, super
so because you were doing this in Florida, so that you got humidity, you got heat, all the other weather we talked about. Were you just drinking constantly?
Constantly.
Hydration is probably.
I went through a lot.
Right, but not a do you have a hydration pack or bottles?
Bottles. My dad would actually ride out backwards and give me
bottles,
and I'd keep going just like handoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one loop was what, 6 miles?
Seven.
7 miles.
About 20 minutes.
And what did you do to prevent boredom?
Boredom? I had music in one ear. And then my friends would come out and ride and talk and share stories.
Uh-huh. Did you listen to podcasts ever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, next time you can listen to yourself.
Next time.
Right.
Yeah, no more. I'm not doing that again.
More of that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so,
I won't do this again.
So you're glad that's behind you. What was your feeling like on December 31st when you were done?
Oh, actually, I started May 15th, 2016.
Okay.
And I finished the year on the 14th, 2017 in May.
Okay.
And then I finished the 100,000... July 11th. It's interesting because I started out just going for the year, and then when I realized I was at 86, my buddy was like, hey man, you only got 14,000 more miles to get the 100. And I said, are you going to be the one to tell my mom, or am I going to be the one?
Yeah.
And it's funny because my mom said, oh, we're going to leave it up to your grandmother because she'll probably tell you to stop. And she's like, oh no, do it. And my mom was like, Mom!
So your grandmother told you to do the other 14,000
uh-huh.
miles.
That's awesome.
Dan, do you believe we're having this conversation?
There's so many
phenomenal.
Stories.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so many stories.
I just can't wrap my head around it. So when you got to 100,000 miles, you broke what record?
The 100,000 record set by Tommy Godwin in 1939, I think.
I remember reading something like that.
It was a 77-year-old record, though, and I broke it by 77 days. That was not planned.
That's cool.
That
it
just
was a 500-day record. Yeah, it just happened.
So you and so
wild.
you hold the male and female record.
Correct.
For the first person to 100,000
mm-hmm.
miles. So when that was done, did you say, ah, finally?
I snuck out the next day, and my dad and I rode 55 miles with no one knowing. We didn't tell anybody. After I finished, I said, Dad, I gotta go ride. But I kind of weaned down.
Yeah.
I went like to 100 and then down like 70. And now, like, the most I do is 3 hours.
Okay.
So I don't ride 100 miles anymore.
Was it an endorphin fix that you needed, or what was it? Or it just,
I didn't want to shock my body.
Didn't want to shock your body.
So.
Just, yeah, not doing something one day after
mm-hmm.
doing it for 365 days.
And cutting back on food. I did that.
Yeah.
I was actually okay not eating that much anymore.
Yeah, probably.
It got tired. It got boring.
Yeah.
I don't know that sounds crazy, but eating that much food every day.
Yeah, I mean,
it got old.
How many calories were you trying to put in every day?
7,000 to 9,000
yeah,
plus
BMR. Yeah, so you
BMR.
Said, yeah, you were burning 7,000 to 9,000, so a lot of pasta, a lot of bread.
I don't want pasta or rice anymore.
Okay.
Like Nicola, she's like, you gotta have some pasta. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Gotta find other ways for those carbs.
I like potatoes.
Yeah.
I love vegetables. Lean meats.
Yep.
Okay.
I could tear that up.
Okay. All right. So, all that's left is what's left. You know, what's next for you?
Next?
So you're going to try the gravel.
Gravel.
Are you going to keep focusing on the time trial? I mean, you've won a couple of big time trials. So mm-hmm. Is that next for you?
Always trying to focus on getting strong on the time trial bike.
Right.
Because that's always been my first, the race against the clock. It's just you against the clock.
Right. So what are you going to do? I mean, how are you going to train? What are you going to do with Nicola and Team 2024? Where are you going to go?
Keep pushing my comfort zone. Got to keep pushing past my comfort zone and go for some more ultra records and gravel. So it's going to be, there's a lot of different things I can do.
Awesome.
I just got to hone in on the specifics.
Okay. And were you on Zwift last night?
Yes.
And what's that all about?
We, every week since July of 2019, Virginia Blue Ridge 2024 has had a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock ride where we average about 2 watts per kilo on Watopia's TikTok course, which is 2 laps. And everybody can come and socialize with me and Nicola and other ladies on the team. We have special guests sometimes. And just chit chat, learn more about the team and share everybody's,
that's
motivate
cool.
everybody. It's a
Very
great
cool.
way to start Thursdays.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you were doing
that every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
We did that yesterday at VBR's headquarters.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw a Facebook post.
Yeah, I saw some posts on it. That's
right.
Very cool.
Right, and you also have an Instagram post.
Yes.
Okay, so can anybody follow you on Instagram, or is
of
that invitation?
Yeah,
I just followed you a minute ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That
right.
and Facebook and Strava.
So tell us where to find you on all those social media platforms.
Facebook is facebook.com/GoAmandaCoker. And my website's goamandacoker.com, and my Instagram is @Amanda_2_ and Coker.
Okay. We'll put all those in
the
show notes.
We'll put it in the show notes. If you can, you should follow Amanda and see what she's doing, see what she's up to. Thanks for listening to her amazing story. I also want to say thank you to Ricky and Donna.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
Mom
and
Dad. Mom
and Dad. You're the best.
And Grandma
yeah.
for supporting. This is a... Like, this is only a couple interviews in for us on this podcast, and it was, like, an absolute joy to be able to talk to you and learn about your whole story. It's super cool, so thank you for...
I hope to come back with more achievements to talk about.
Please do, yeah. Oh, we'll
have
you guys back. Yeah. And, you and Nicola both have been phenomenal, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
And we wish you, I hope you just crush the field in this gravel event that you're going to do.
We'll see about that.
All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before you go, just a couple of quick notes. First of all, thanks for listening to the Rider Up podcast presented by Virginia's Blue Ridge, America's East Coast mountain biking capital. If you want to know more about riding your bike in Virginia's Blue Ridge, you should go directly to bikevbr.com. Bikevbr.com, all kinds of information there. All of the many accolades the region has received from many of the bike orgs you know, for instance, Virginia's Blue Ridge is... an IMBA designated silver level ride center, and that's very rare on the eastern half of the United States, just a couple of us. Also, the League of American Bicyclists designate the region as a bronze level bicycle friendly business. And as you heard Dan and I say, it's also home to Team 2024, the top women's team in the United States, where top athletes are Olympic hopefuls and record breakers, and many have made it to the Olympics and won medals in the past, and this is where they call home. The fact is that this region is a fantastic cycling destination for mountain bikes, road bikes, and gravel bikes. Just look at the calendar for this year. The Carilion Clinic Ironman 70.3 Virginia's Blue Ridge Triathlon will be set for early June here in Virginia, in Virginia's Blue Ridge. The 2022 USA Cycling Amateur Road National Championship will be from June 29th to July 2nd. The VBR Grand Fondo is set for Sunday, October 9th, and the Creature from Carvin's Cove Mountain Bike Race will be Saturday, October 16th and 17th, and that's part of the Virginia's Blue Ridge Endurance Series. So all kinds of great events, and I'm just skimming the tops right there. Links to everything we talked about in the podcast, as well as a link to an awesome YouTube video that
is just music and beautiful scenery that shows you, in about the highest quality I have seen this side of Hollywood, all the many places to ride here in Virginia's Blue Ridge. For Dan Lucas, I'm John Carlin. Thanks for listening, and I hope to see you out there in Virginia's Blue Ridge.